So 1 Samuel chapter 24 are our opening verses this evening, 1 to 12. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained inside of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy unto thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me to kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've got together to hear from your word, Lord, and we pray that you would open your truths to us, Lord, and that we would keep them in our mind as we go about our week, Father, and that we would know you better, Lord, and know how we should act according to your word, according to the life of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, we pray these things in his name. Amen. So you can see in this account that David spared King Saul's life, and the prophecy that was told beforehand about this encounter left it open as to what David would do. It was up to David, so whatever seemed good to him, that's what the Lord said, and that in the end David chose mercy over vengeance. So tonight we are going to look at a characteristic of the Lord that was manifest in David. We should all know that any good virtue we might have is not of ourselves, but is of God, for all of God's attributes are good. And the biblical accounts that paint David in a positive light are not to glorify David as a man, but to glorify God, who is the source of the goodness he displays. Amen. David was a man who had sought God and was found of him, and who delighted himself in God's nature. Let me read to you a verse in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He was a man after God's own heart, meaning he was modeled after God's own self. All of the Lord's good qualities that were available to imitation, David himself imitated them. He acted and behaved in a way that reflected is God's own nature. David so captures our imagination as we read the scriptures, because as the psalmist, we have so much insight into his personal relationship with God, who he was to him and vice versa, right, in his private prayers. The particular attribute we are looking at in our opening verses in 1 Samuel is mercy. Those who understand the gospel and what is being offered understand that God is merciful. It is one of God's most cherished attributes, right? He delights in loving kindness, and it is an attribute we ought to be thankful for every day of our lives as born-again Christians, because the merciful act of the cross has spared us eternal judgment for our sins. The Lord's mercy in no way undermines His justice, though, as we read in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 to 7. The next scriptures, if you'll turn with me there. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and the fourth generation. See here that the Lord is just. As we read in these verses, the Lord is providing the caveat that although He is merciful, He will by no means clear the guilty. He will repay all wickedness. It is His right, and David himself knew that God has a sole right to pay back sins, as He is the one who has ultimately been sinned against. David pleaded for forgiveness from God alone for his sins because he knew God had taken upon Himself all the sins of mankind. He had made Himself the target of all sin by suffering the retribution of the cross. We'll see this in Psalm 51, verses 1 to 4. The Psalm of David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David understood that the mercy of God was contingent upon the atonement of the justice of God. In verse 4, do you see? God made it so that He was the target of all sin, so that He would have the exclusive right to judge all sin. Where David says that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And you cannot forgive my sins, even as I can't forgive yours, even if they were committed against you or against me, because God alone has paid for them. David several times in the Bible demonstrates great mercy towards his enemies, King Saul being a prime example. Even when Saul pursued David in the wilderness, desiring to kill him, the circumstances didn't alter this attitude of total mercy which David had learned from his Lord. It is obvious he was deferring to God's right to judge. And likewise, in David's imprecatory psalms, these are the ones praying for judgment, and they have some bitter curses. The prayers he makes to the Lord for justice shows us that even in anger, David chooses to look to his Maker to square accounts. Of course, David craved justice, not for himself, but because he knew, as a Christian, those who hated him really hated his testimony of Christ. And he called down judgment on those he knew had persecuted him because of his faith, knowing that they had rejected God. We see an example of this in Psalm 69:9, if you're still in Psalms. Just a few pages forward. This is how David saw all persecution against himself. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. His offences only is personal insofar as he calls upon the name of the Lord. That should be our mandate when it comes to praying for justice, not for ourselves, but against those that are enemies of Christ. If you read Psalm 69 in its entirety, you'd see that David is praying for the destruction upon the literal persecutors of Jesus Christ. So it describes the crucifixion here. Remember the Lord's own words, however, that all sins will be forgiven, bar one sin which will never be forgiven, and that is the rejection of the testimony of Jesus Christ as a Messiah. That's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed for those who killed him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are told by Christ himself to pray for our enemies, who we will know personally if they have offended us. The point is that we mustn't seek the hurt of anyone who has hurt us personally. Only those who have fully rejected God are beyond our prayers. And what then? Well, turn with me next to Psalm 139, verses 21 to 22, an example of one of David's imprecatory prayers. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. The kind of mercy David showed towards his enemies shows he didn't see it as his right to take revenge, even when it was in his power to do so. The scriptures say, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Mercy is choosing to do good, even when it's not necessary. That is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to make himself poor and suffer and die for our sakes. The Father didn't have to send his own Son to be brutally killed to take away our sins. But God is merciful, and that is the good news. That's the glorious half of the story that complements his justice, the other half. David exercised mercy not just as an individual, but as a king as well. We can see this exemplified in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. Second Samuel 10, 1 to 7. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honour thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Makar, 1,000 men, and of Ish-tob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. In this account, David endeavored to deal peacefully with the Ammonites, who in turn were hostile and insulting. Notice David didn't send his army either to fight against them until after they had first made preparations for war, and the Lord went on to give David victory. We see in this account the contrast between two attitudes, of the believer and of the wicked. On the one hand, the world is warmongering, unmerciful, acting only in self-interest and suspicion, but the Christian ought to maintain peace and guilelessness. And in so doing, this honors God, acting in good faith just as David did. And we can always trust him to protect us and defend us to the last. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful example of David, this man after your own heart. Lord, what a wonderful example for us to strive for, Lord, that he knew you so well through your word. Father, we pray for the same for us, that we can show this quality of mercy, Father, that you so generously lavished on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that we always pray for our enemies, Lord, and we're gracious towards them as you are towards yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll close the service. Father, thank you for this time together. Bless us and protect us as we go into the world, and bring us again for fellowship soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.